Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Psalms contains so many inspirational statements, statements of praise, instruction, admonition, encouragement, hope, as well as duty, blessings that God has bestowed upon us. I read to you from Psalm 60, verse 4, a rather unique statement from God through the writer David. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. I want us to focus our attention upon the thoughts of that verse in just a moment. Brethren, I think we all realize that periodically we are in need of reminders. The Apostle Paul said it wasn't grievous for him to remind his brethren of things in which they were already well established. The Apostle Peter, in writing to his brethren, also said that he would bring things to their remembrance, things that they already knew. And so we periodically need to review and remind ourselves and call attention to the overall cause of Christ of which we are a part. We need to think about why we are what we are, why we do as we do, and why we stand for what we stand for, and why we oppose what we oppose. We need now and again a restatement of our purposes and of our goals and our objectives in order to keep the primary matters always in front of us. This passage of Scripture that I just read to you mentions a banner or a flag. And a flag has many uses. In Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 2, when the Lord was rallying forces to go against the evil nations of Babylon and Moab and Syria, He said, "Lift up a banner upon the high mountain. I have called my mighty ones." A banner can be used to rally troops. We sing the song about forward into battle, see his banner go. A flag is used, therefore, a rallying place where we congregate together because we have a common purpose, a common goal, a common task. And it calls us to the work. And with the flag in front, we march forward in the cause of Christ. A flag is also used for the purpose of identification. In Psalm 74 and verse 4, they set up their ensigns or flags or banners for signs. Back during the days of sailing ships, when ships would cross and meet one another, those on board one ship would shout out to the others on the other ship sometime and say, "Under what flag do you sail? From what country have you come? What is your identification?" The flag identifies us. The flag tells to whom we belong. The flag tells us whom we serve and whose side we're on. As I included in the bulletin forecasting this particular lesson, I've always liked the story about Granny, who lived in the South during the war between the states. And when she experienced the unfortunate situation of the Union troops coming across her farm, and she grabbed her broom and she went out to meet that army. And someone said, "Why, Granny, you can't do any good with that broom." She says, "I know it, but I can show whose side I'm on." Well, now that's the purpose of a banner sometimes. I enjoy watching the football games. I like to enjoy it in my own living room far better than going. I'm different from some of you. You can afford the tickets. I'd rather sit there and watch. But I enjoy seeing the people as they celebrate their teams.
And they have their banners and their flags. What does that do? Why, they're rallying their troops, so to speak. And they're identifying themselves, and they're showing whose side they're on. We sing the song, "To Christ be loyal and be true. His banner be unfurled and borne aloft till he has secured the conquest of the world." We just sang that a moment ago. And we uphold our banner in order to let the world know where we stand. We lift it up to rally ourselves together to openly acknowledge the Lord and His way. And my dear brothers and sisters, unless we do, the world is not going to know the way that God would have people to live and do. And it's elementary to think this. We cannot expect the forces of evil and the forces of error to fly the flag of salvation and redemption through Jesus Christ. That is a task that God has given unto us. What is the banner that we uphold before the world? The Song of Solomon in chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us his banner over us is love. We fly the flag of God's love for man. And all that that implies, and all the manifestations and demonstrations of the fact that even though man is at times most unlovable, God always loves man. That does not mean, of course, God always approves of man, but there's never a time that God does not love man. And has He not demonstrated that love in the sending of His only begotten Son into this world to live that perfect life and to die the death on the cross and to be raised in order that man might be saved? And so we can say, in reality, the banner that we uphold is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As Paul said, we preach not ourselves but Christ and Him crucified. In Isaiah chapter 11, verses 10 and 12, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse." Now Jesse was the father of David. And Christ, of course, was an ancestor of David. And so this was a prophetic word concerning the Christ. "There shall be the root of Jesse, which shall stand as an ensign before the people." Christ, then, is the flag that we uphold. And we fight beneath the banner of the cross. We are the standard bearer. And the standard bearer is the Son of a standard, is the Son of God. I'm sure that many of you enjoy seeing the pictures that come on television about the history of the Civil War and those gruesome, awesome, deadly battles that take place. And to hear the commentators as they talk about the progress of the battle and so forth, and how the generals oftentimes direct their troops toward where the flag is flying. Whether they be against this side or that side, they direct their energies and their efforts to take down that flag. Therefore, in any conflict, the banner that is upheld is always the object of the fiercest attacks from the opposition. Dear friend, it's not news to you to know that our banner, Jesus Christ, is under vicious attack in our world. He's under attack from infidels and from modernists that would deny the Bible to be the Word of God. From those of the philosophies of humanism, the skeptics, the scoffers, those who have placed the wisdom of men and their scholarship above the revelation of God in His Word, those who are the practitioners of evil, the various misguided religionists, and all the various isms of the religion. And I make not to you a political statement, but a statement of reality that is sobering.
I know that in my lifetime, and I go back to the time I was born under Hoover, there has not been a government in this country that has been as anti-Christian in its concept, in its words, in its actions, in its behavior, than that under which we are presently living today. And the sad part of it is, that may well represent the character of this nation. Because there is not the respect for things high and holy. Not near so much as it was just a few years past. Our Lord is under attack. His church is under attack. His word is under attack. And His people are under attack. But by upholding Christ, we defy the philosophies of men. We defy all of the theologies that the wiseacres have presented. We defy the wickedness of this world. And we talk of Christ. And we talk about His virgin birth and His perfect life. And Him being the example for men to follow. And we talk about His power. And we talk about His crucifixion. And though He was buried, on the third day He arose from the dead. And how He has ascended to be King of kings and Lord of lords. And because He is the Son of God, He is the hope of glory. And in spite of all the forces of the antagonist against Him, and those that would follow after Him, He is our banner, and we hold Christ aloft for the world to see. That's the role of a Christian. And our banner, like any banner, is a symbol of victory. I'm sure that nearly everyone here has either, maybe you've seen the tremendous artwork and the statue and the sculpture there in Washington, D.C., of the men raising the flag as they established the flag in Iwo Jima. You've seen that picture if you haven't seen that statue. It was a mark of victory. They had accomplished their purpose. They had reached their goal. And our flag is also an accomplishment because of our banner, we have deliverance from sin. We've been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We have victory over temptation because there is no temptation too strong for the Christian. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 tells us that we can either overcome or what we can't overcome, we can endure. That's because of Christ. Our banner is also victory over sorrow. And sorrow comes in life. It intrudes sometimes at the most unexpected moments. But it need not and will not defeat us. We will have victory over sorrow and the breaking of the heart. Because of Jesus Christ, He is our consolation. And ultimately, our Lord is victory even over death. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. The psalmist says, Thou hast given a banner. The thou there refers to God. Brethren and friends, the banner that we uphold was not designed by man. It did not come from man. It was not given by man. It was given to us by Almighty God. It was provided for us because Jesus Christ came and gave His life as a ransom for all. Matthew 20 and verse 28. And please take note, it is given to them that fear Him. That is, to those who hold Him in reverence. This flag, this banner is given to those who will respect God. Not all respect God. Not all will grab the staff and hold the flag aloft. But those that will respect God, such as we profess to do today, this banner is given unto us, and it is the duty of the Christian to lift it high.
We love Him, we respect Him, and we realize that this is the task that God has assigned us in this life. No, we cannot look to those outside the Lord's church. We cannot look to those who, once in the church, have quit. We cannot look to those who are worldly in their behavior, who are still members of the church, because friendship with the world is enmity with God, James says, James 4 and verse 4. In short, God looks to me and to you as we strive to be faithful in our daily life as Christian people. He looks to those who look to Him for guidance and for direction and eternal salvation. Brethren, God is dependent upon those of us who are Christians to see to it that His will and His word is propagated and practiced. And how do we uphold this banner? Well, we do it by word, by what we say. We do it by teaching and by preaching. We do it by the message that we send forth. But we uphold this banner by what we do. Not only by our expressions, but also by our examples. We uphold this banner by the way that we serve Him in daily life, in the home, in the marketplace, as well as in worship services with brethren. We uphold our banner by the manner of conduct every day. In Acts chapter 8, we read about the early Christians. Though they were persecuted, they went everywhere preaching the word. When Philip went down to Samaria, he preached Christ and His kingdom. When Philip preached to the Ethiopian, he preached unto him Christ. And we ought and must do the same thing. You know, most of us are not very hesitant to let people know what we think and where we stand on maybe some political issue before the community. Most of us are not very timid to let people know where our loyalties lie concerning athletic competition, and that's all right. Most of us are not a bit hesitant to let people know our allegiance to our state or to our region of the nation. Brethren, we can't be timid in letting people know where our allegiance is concerning truth and concerning Christ and concerning His church and concerning the lost. Psalms 107 verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed say so. If there is any cause that is needful in our day, it is for those who have been redeemed to say so concerning Christ." And that involves me. And that involves you, without one single exception among us. In Matthew chapter 5, we're taught to let our light so shine that others may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Paul told the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians 4 and verse 1 that we walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. You see, dear friend, as you well know, and this is a part of the reminder, the Christian life, when it is harmonious with the doctrine of Christ, the world can see who and what is the significance of the Son of God. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, in the 2 Corinthian letter, he pointed out how that they were his epistle. They were his letter. They were what people would read and what people would see. And I like the sign that I saw on a church front one time. You're the very best Christian
somebody knows. In fact, it may well be about all anybody really knows, and how they can evaluate the Son of God is what they see in you, because you profess to be His disciple. And hence the importance of us upholding Christ. This banner is placed in our hand. The psalmist said that it may be displayed because of the truth. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 8 and verse 32. I have a couple of flags flying down on my property. One is the Stars and Stripes, and unashamedly, the other is the Stars and Bars. Sort of let folks know whose side I'm on. But you know, sometimes the wind will blow and those flags will wrap around the staff. And when you drive in and see it, why, you can't tell what it is. It's been all wrapped up. An unfurled flag, an unfurled banner, it sends forth no call. It rallies no troops. It fails to identify. We must unfurl our banner before the world. Dear people, we can't get to heaven without truth. It's our responsibility to see that truth is spread and taught and lived. We can't do it if we've got our flag in a nice, pretty case, all preserved and protected. It will do nobody any value there. There's another verse in another song that we sing, "Lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss." I'm impressed at times when I see this series, for instance, on television about the Civil War. It showed one very graphic picture. I forgot which army it was. Doesn't make any difference as to the point I'm going to make. The standard bearer was going into battle. He was holding the flag aloft, and the troops were fighting with all of their power. And he was hit. And he fell to the ground, mortally wounded. Obviously, he couldn't last long. But as he was lying there, one arm still outstretched, he kept that flag aloft until somebody else came along. And he said, "Don't let the flag fall." I suggest to you, my dear faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, this is our call today. Jesus Christ is our banner, and we dare not let the flag fall. It must be upheld. We cannot allow it to be trampled underfoot, because all mankind would be the loser if such was the case. Now, when we respect our banner, we will lift it high, and it will bring blessings innumerable. I want to close the lesson this morning by mentioning to you just three great blessings when we hold our banner aloft. The first one is a blessing to ourselves. When we openly avow our faith, it is one of the best securities that we have against becoming again entangled in the world and overcome by sin. It's one of the very best preventives of unfaithfulness. Those who are regular in their worship and loyal in their life, they will not drift away. Those who are intent on growing more and more like Jesus every day that they're privileged to live are not going to be enticed and seduced by the temptations of the devil. They'll stay faithful. And when we hold a banner aloft, we protect ourselves. We can't afford to be timid about that. We live in a world that's hostile to the cause for which we stand and the principles by which we live. But we will not turn back if we will be a faithful standard bearer and hold Christ before the world. It's a blessing to ourselves. Secondly, it's a blessing to our brethren. When we hold the banner high, it will give courage to those who at times may become faint-hearted. It will be an inspiration to those who may be weak in one area or another. It will be an inspiration to those who become discouraged. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 wrote these words concerning his persecution. He said, But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. What's he saying here? Paul was persecuted beyond measure. But he endured. He remained faithful. All knew where he was, who he was, and what he was. And regardless of what they did to him, he was steadfast in the faith. And it was an encouragement to all of his brethren to see what he was, how he stood, how he was an example to them. And when they would become faint-hearted or weary, they would take renewed courage and determination, because there was another over there holding up the banner that he would not let it down. Then there's a third blessing. It's a blessing to all the world, because as we hold Christ before the world, it gives the world the one and the only remedy of sin. It provides for the world the one and only solution to the ills and the problems we face. It gives us the one and only reliable and safe guide through this life. In view of the fact that we live in a world of the darkness of sin, and when we see the terrible plight of those that are lost, know that there is no other solution for anybody except Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, brethren, we cannot put the banner in a corner. We cannot allow it to be covered up. But rather it must be held high and held proudly and thankfully with conviction for all the world to see, that they too might come and to know the joy and the blessing of being saved in Jesus Christ. This passage of Scripture from Psalms encourages us then to unfurl our banner before the world, to rally around the flag, if you please, to lift him high. Would you turn in your songbook to the invitation song that's announced, which is not ordinarily an invitation song, but I think befits our lesson today. On page 225, may I read these sentiments to us before we sing them? There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King. As an ensign fair, we lift it up today, while as ransomed ones we sing. Over land and sea, wherever men may dwell, make the glorious tidings known of the crimson banner. Now the story tell, while the Lord shall claim his own. When the great commander from the vaulted sky sounds the resurrection day, then before our King the faint and foe shall die, and the saints shall march away. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss. For the King of Kings, toil and sing, neath the banner of the cross. And how do you lay hold on that staff to lift it high? Is by your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and your submission to Him in obedience to repent of your sins and to confess your faith and to be baptized into Christ, and you rise to walk in a newness of life, and you are given this task and this privilege to hold Christ high before all around. you do that faithfully, though you may well fall in battle as you do it, God's name will be glorified and you shall be saved eternally in heaven. And there are those who, at one point in their life, they realize the seriousness, the importance, and the blessedness of holding Christ aloft. But for one reason or another, one excuse or another, or for whatever, they've let the banner fall to the ground. But it need not stay there, my dear fallen brother or sister. God gives you an opportunity to lift down and to lift it up once again. And to continue to march with the army of God toward heaven. And you can do it. Because God says you can do it. And your brethren will help you do it. But you're the one that has to make the decision to do it. And you can. Oh, if you would only repent of your past sins and your falling away. Come and acknowledge and confess that before God and man. Take advantage of that blessed avenue of prayer that God has afforded us to ask His forgiveness. He will forgive in every past transgression, every negligence of duty, everything of that nature will be washed away by the blood of Christ. And you are joined the ranks of the people of God. And you will follow our great commander, Jesus Christ, flying His flag high in your life. You can do that. You must do that. You should do that. We're praying that you will do that. Even today, that you'll make that renewed start. We're going to stand now and sing the song. Brethren, sing this song with fervor, but with understanding. Consider the sentiments of it. See the great duty that we have. And assume that charge. And go forward hand in hand and heart together for the Lord.